Who is Israel? Part 2. The Church. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I reject you from being a priest to me. And since you have forgotten the law of Yahweh, I also will forget your children. Hosea 4:6. Remember all the commandments of Yahweh to do them, not to follow after your own heart and your own eyes, which you are inclined to whore after. So you shall remember and do all my words and be holy to Yahweh. Numbers 15:39. The previous article of this series set forth the scriptural concept of what has come to be known as the Church was actually to have been in existence long before Yom Shavuot, the day of Pentecost, that Christianity claims to be the inception of the Church. The Greek word used for church, ecclesia, means those called out, and most of Christianity stops right there with their definition. But that definition is not complete. The complete definition continues with those called out of their homes to an assembly of Israelites. The Hebrew word kahal was what was used in the original writings as an assembly. But this was not a Gentile church, something that is completely contrary to what Scripture tells us. The first time the Greek word ecclesia is used in Scripture is not in the book of Acts on Yom Shavuot, as Christianity maintains, but first appears in the Gospel of Matthew, specifically in the words of Yeshua in chapter 18:17. In this passage, Yeshua referred to those not hearing the ecclesia, the church, are to be treated as a Gentile, someone other than a member of the Hebrew family of Israel. When Yeshua made this statement, there were no Christians around. He was speaking to Hebrews who understand the kahal to have existed long before Pentecost. Even Shaul, the Hebrew apostle Paul, said so. This is the one Moses who was in the church, ecclesia, in the wilderness, with the angel which spoke to him in the mount, and with our fathers, who received the lively oracles to give unto us, Acts 7:38, saying, I will declare your name unto my brethren in the midst of the church, ecclesia, will I sing praise unto you, Hebrews 2:12. Interestingly, most modern Bibles don't translate ecclesia as church in this passage from Acts 7:38, but rather as the English congregation. When the entire chapter is read in context, it is clear that the ecclesia Paul is speaking of isn't a Gentile church, but Israel. What is being quoted in Hebrews 2:12 is taken directly from Psalm 22:22, that reads, I will declare your name unto my brethren in the midst of the congregation will I praise you. Clearly, David is also speaking of Israel, and the author of the book of Hebrews is quoting him directly. The Hebrew word translated as the English congregation in Psalms 22:22 is kahal, meaning assembly. In the original writings, we find this word used well over 100 times and is always translated as congregation or assembly. Perhaps the most interesting thing about this word, however, is that it is always in reference to Israel, but never to Gentiles. Thus, since the authors of the Messianic writings were Hebrew, writing from the Hebrew perspective they were raised in, and primarily directing their words toward other Hebrews, then viewing the Greek word ecclesia from their vantage point means they were never conveying the idea of a Gentile church. In the light of exploring who Israel is, it is just as important to come to an understanding of who Israel is not. Since words mean things, what terminology we use is indicative of what kind of understanding we have of what lies beneath the concepts presented to us in Scripture. For instance, Christians have typically understood the Bible to be made up of two testaments, the Old and the New. This is an error in translation and in thinking. The word translated as the English Testament is the Greek word diathke, meaning the last disposition which one makes of his earthly possessions after his death, a will, and is actually translated as covenant more times than it is testament. Interestingly, there is no Hebrew word that corresponds to this English word testament in the original writings. The Hebrew word translated as the English covenant is berith, which means alliance or pledge. Nothing even remotely associated with a will. There is also an inference between the words old and new that what is newest supersedes what is oldest. That concept is simply not seen when Scripture is viewed from the Hebrew perspective it was written in. The Tanakh, or the original Scriptures, are not an Old Testament. They make up the completeness of Yahweh's everlasting covenant with Israel. What has come to be known as the New Testament is in reality a fulfillment of that everlasting covenant. They are not two testaments or even two covenants. They are one. If we are to remain faithful students of the truth, it becomes imperative to rid ourselves of words that continue to promote inferences which are in opposition to the truth contained in scriptural concepts. Consequently, these articles use the terms Tanakh, or original writings, when referring to what has been classically called the Old Testament, and Messianic writings for what has come to be inappropriately titled the New Testament. Most Christians also see the term replacement theology primarily as a reference to the church being the anointed replacement for the Hebrews who forsook God, those who, quote, had their shot and blew it, causing them to be cast off from His promises. But would these same Christians be so quick to embrace replacement theology if they were aware of the more insidious and underlying implication that theology carries, of actually meaning replacing the only true Holy One of Israel with something else? That being a system of thought that divorces Christianity from the historical reality that spawned it. Yeshua said that what we give ourselves to is what we serve, and who or what we serve is what we worship, in Matthew 4:10, reinforcing Deuteronomy 11:16. To see replacement theology for the idolatry it really is requires revelation, a paradigm shift in approach to the words of Scripture. Throughout Scripture, Yahweh tells His people to remember who He is. To believe in Yahweh is to remember His nature shown in and through His deeds. Revelation is history, not theology. The knowledge spoken of in Hosea 4:6 at the top of this article is the knowledge of Yahweh's nature expressed in His words and deeds. To be separate from that knowledge is to be destroyed. So seeing that Psalm 22:22 is quoted word for word in Hebrews 2:12, and if the Greek word ecclesia actually means assembly, then why would it ever be translated church anyplace else? If the terms and concept of the church is not scriptural, then how did it wind up in our modern lexicon? Where did it come from? 325 years after the resurrection, the church was created and placed under the control of the state of Rome by its emperor Constantine, a pagan sun worshiper to the day he died, at the Council of Nicaea, where it became known as the New Roman Catholic Church. The disturbing edicts of that council can be found in the article The Word. Those edicts were carried through to the end of the Roman Empire and beyond, when the Pope, as the head of the Roman Catholic Church, told King Henry VIII that divorcing his current wife to marry Anne Boleyn went against Scripture. King Henry's response was to take jurisdiction over the church with the Act of Supremacy, passed by Parliament in 1534, which proclaimed the king as head of the now renamed Church of England. Interestingly, it was the Scripture of the original writings the Pope was using as the basis for his accusation. Subsequently, when the original King James Version of the Bible was completed in 1611, it had become very important to the crown to retain the word church in the text to support the state's authority over it. It was on this premise that King James made 15 specific edicts that were forcibly applied to that translation. Edict number 3 stated that this Bible was to retain the word church in the translation, and it was not to be replaced with the word congregation. He made this a specific edict because he had no authoritative jurisdiction over the congregation, assembly of people, but he did have that authority over the church, physical buildings. He did not want the word assembly associated with the original meaning of the original writings, which meant congregation, to prevent an undermining of that authority. He obviously knew the correct translation, but he didn't want it in there in order to retain control over the church. The proof of this assertion is found in the first independent English Bible, the Tyndale Bible, translated sometime between 1524 and 1526. The Tyndale Bible never once used the word church. It used the word assembly or congregation. The Tyndale Bible did use the word churches once in Acts 19:37 to describe pagan temples. It is Strong's number G2417, Herosolos, that means guilty of sacrilege. In other words, it means that the Herosolos translated by Tyndale as churches is spoiling Yahweh's temple. It is a false temple. Interestingly, this preference for the word church was what was passed on to the first printed King James Version translation, even though the word used there in Acts 19:37 is not ecclesia. The Greek word ecclesia was falsely translated church in the King James Version from a word used to describe pagan temples. Since the earlier Tyndale Version had correctly translated the Greek ecclesia as congregation rather than church, it was asserted this translation choice was a direct threat to the Roman Catholic Church's claim to be the body of Christ on earth, but as Tyndale made clear, a non-scriptural claim. To change these words was to strip the church hierarchy of its pretensions to be Christ's terrestrial representative and to award this honor to individual worshipers who made up each congregation. That is from Brian Monahan's William Tyndale, If God Spare My Life. It is because of his refusal to repent over his translation of the Bible and for making it accessible to the public that William Tyndale was burned at the stake by the hierarchy of the Roman Catholic Church. The English word congregation is translated from the Greek word ecclesia, But since King James forbade replacing this Greek word with congregation, the true interpretation, it was replaced with a word which has a totally different meaning. There is no such entity in the scriptures as the church. It is easy to see that what was going on is a perpetration of replacement theology by the anti-Semitic Gentile church that was founded by Constantine and endorsed by the so-called reformers, who are nothing more than Protestant Catholics. The poison of anti-Semitism and the push to remove the influence of anything Hebraic from what became known as Christianity under the heavy anti-Semitic influence of Constantine in the 4th century continued with the church leaders that followed his destructive legacy. Martin Luther was an avowed anti-Semite. To worship the one true Holy One of Israel is to enter into a culture marked by a common history, a common storehouse of cultural memories that supply us with identity, meaning, and practice of worship toward Yahweh, the present presence. Once we become divorced from the historical continuity of Yahweh's plan and purpose, we are no longer in the stream of Yahweh's actions. We are no longer biblical believers. We become theologians or philosophers pursuing abstractions about some universal God. We no longer are adherents to the revelation of Yahweh, whom Yeshua extolled. Have you ever wondered where the phrase Christian apologist comes from? What are they apologizing for? When Christianity became a philosophy, a new religion, it no longer was part of the history of Yahweh's people. That is a hard swallow for those who have invested the whole of their identity in Christian theology, and why they still seek to see themselves as God's people to justify their stance. That they worship a God is certain. What God that is becomes suspect. Idolatry is the correct word to describe Christianity's current state, because they worship a man-made constructed Jesus, elevating him to the status of a deity. Yahweh has always had but one assembly, and her name is Israel. The question of this series has been, who is Israel? But the more important question is, have you joined her? Or now, equipped with this knowledge, are you going to just keep doing church? But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of Yahweh. John 1:12.